So the Prophet said, you should come on the 23rd. So a lot of our scholars have kind of concluded from this that the night of Qadr, the night of ordainment, it's highly likely that it occurs on the 23rd every year because of this tradition. In any case, today on the key, we're going to be looking at a question and examining a question. And that question is this. All right, so tonight is the night of ordainment. People ask, what should we do on this night of ordainment, right? You know, we know that we should worship God, we should ask forgiveness, but is there anything specific that we can do, you know, that's going to increase our chances of being forgiven in this night and, you know, give us a lot more reward than we would have gotten in if we would have done something else? So the answer to this question is yes, there are a lot of good a'mal and action that we can perform in these nights, so we're going to look at some of those right tonight. So there are certain actions which are what we call them mushtarak, meaning they're common to the three nights of ordainment, the 19th, the 20th, 21st, and the 23rd. For example, one of them is like performing the ghusl, the ritual bath for these nights. And there's also certain prayers, certain du'as that are to be performed, which you can refer to in the books of prayers and the books of du'a. There's also certain actions and amal which are specific to each night and which can be performed, referenced by, again, referring to these books. One of the things we'd like to mention to our listeners here is that it's highly recommended. It's been mentioned in the hadith regarding the nights of Qadr, that a person should also spend a certain portion of this night seeking knowledge. Right? Seeking knowledge. It could be in the form of reading a book or, you know, discussing some religious topics with one's friends and so on and so forth. Please, we ask our listeners, do not forget to, this action, this beneficial, spiritually beneficial action in this night. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the actions to be performed on the nights of ordainment. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Aperture.
Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet. We can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Any questions?
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
You will no longer exist. The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting, seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it.
این عمر که زیاد بشه یعنی داریم میریم توی
Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
I am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
I am trapped in a nightmare. I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear. But I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children are vanishing.
The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that will mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future. We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all.
برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار و زیانبخش باشه.
Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold of you. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives, which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to the drought and lack of water.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now. Since entering the 21st century, even in our own western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources. So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. And then the water came up, and I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. We have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. 1 multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The 1 turned into 1,000. 2 multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. 3 multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
که داریم چه میکنیم؟ زمین هم داره خیلی تلاش میکنه که
The Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
My children. The economic factor is not a sustainable argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criteria the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around, and the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless. Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences. Consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the earth.
I don't understand why. My children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear listeners of this program, Lantern, thank you very much for joining us. The title of today's story is The Lesson from the Sun. One day, father of a wealthy family took his son on a trip to the country with the firm purpose of showing his son how poor people can be. They spent a couple of days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. On their return from their trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad." "Did you see how poor people can be?" the father asked. "Oh, yes," said the son. "So what did you learn from the trip?" asked the father. The son answered, "I saw that we have one dog and they had four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden and they have the stars at night. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them." With this, the boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how ungrateful we truly are." Yes, dear listeners, I hope you and all of us are also thankful for all the blessings we get every day.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or showing a sense of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated regarding the Prophet Abraham that shakran in this way, shakran li an'umihi wa hadahu ila sirati mustaqim. Abraham was appreciative and had a profound sense of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the divine graces upon him. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to the right path. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his prophet Abraham to take his wife Hagar in Arabic Hajar and his son Ishmael in Arabic Ismail to Mecca, which was a barren area, he did this. Abraham did this. Abraham took his wife, Hagar, and his son, Ishmael, to Mecca and left them over there, in a desert. All because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to do this. In effect of this, we find that Hagar and Abraham lived over there, and a water well appeared over there because all human beings need water for survival. And water was available over there. And nowadays, when you go to Mecca, you find within the Grand Mosque, I mean, in the center of which the Kaaba is situated, you find that in a corner, the Zamzam well, which is reminiscent of the time of the Prophet Abraham, and when his son, the Prophet Ishmael, was living over there, the Zamzam well, the Zamzam water well, started gushing out from that time, and its water is still available. And when you taste it, you find that it's one of the lightest kind of water. I mean, a kind of water that's really very pleasing to drink. You find that, I mean, whoever listens to the divine instructions and follows and obeys the divine instructions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forsake him. And this is a kind of appreciation, mutual appreciation shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since people obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them his appreciation. And what appreciation can match the divine appreciation?
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
So we find that the Prophet Abraham was always appreciative of the divine grace in this connection. In this connection, we find that in Islamic moral education, it's indicated that being grateful, being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing our gratitude to Him isn't only by means of saying something or uttering something or pronouncing some formulas like Alhamdulillah, which means, I mean, praise belongs to Allah. However, people are expected to show their gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of assisting those people who may need the help. Imagine that, for example, you know the proper way to reach a place. Someone comes to you in the street and asks you about the address, the way to reach that destination. Since you've been provided with this opportunity, with this knowledge, to know the place, in order to show your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to help that person. And we find that from this perspective, it's known that being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be limited to only verbal recognition or verbal expression. Rather, being able to help other people and being beneficial to other people is another manifestation of expressing our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lives of the divine prophets are all indicative that the divine prophets and by extension the lives of the infallible imams, in the lives we find that since they had already reached the highest point of perfection, moral perfection, and have enjoyed the sweetness of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being sincere servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they spared no efforts to lead other people to reach this source of light and enjoyment and spiritual enjoyment. And this is another indication that whoever has been provided with any good moral trait, in order to show his or her gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of having had that praiseworthy moral trait, they are expected to help other people reach those moral traits, develop those moral traits in themselves, and being able to help other people. Thank you.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Allah, Allah,
Allah, Allah, Allah. این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند، ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware. The hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
The imperialists, through various means, they dissuade the Muslims from resorting to Islam and the Quran so that they could easily attain their inhuman objectives, which are the exploitation of the deprived class. Importance is the unity of expression, and reliance is the exalted and blessed Allah and the power of faith. The nation's power of faith was so powerful that it looked at martyrdom as attaining bliss, and so it was wishing for martyrdom and was fearless of death. Hence, fist prevailed over tanks. Other nations, the Palestinian nation, should forge a unity of expression and have reliance on the exalted and blessed Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the month of Ramadan. In one of his speeches, he refers and he says that spiritual reconstructions precede all other reconstructions. The jihad for reconstruction must begin with the individuals. Now, this is very important that we pay attention to our activities, to our deeds, to ourselves. And if we want to reconstruct ourselves, and if we are looking at the reconstruction of ourselves, it should start with the spiritual reconstruction. Because if a person who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is spiritually powerful and he is spiritually strong, that person will have strong willpower. And this willpower will help him to reconstruct himself. It will help him to build himself. It will help him to boost himself, either spiritually or in the sense of the deeds. So when we are looking at the reformation, when we are looking at the reconstruction of our soul or of ourselves, then Imam Khomeini says that the spiritual reconstruction
is the one that precedes all other reconstructions. Because if a person is not spiritually strong, then obviously he cannot gain anything else. Even in order to attain taqwa, even in order to have taqwa, we need to have a strong spiritual will that can help us in order to gain taqwa.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi.
Spiritually, we need to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because anything that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become divine. Because when you are connected to the divine, your actions will become divine, your thinking will become divine. And obviously, in this world, we have this material life, but we lack in spirituality. Therefore, we need to pay focus, or we need to be more focused on the spirituality. Therefore, when we have the spiritual reconstruction, and Imam Khomeini refers to this as jihad for reconstruction. Jihad means obviously we are struggling. And in other words, when we talk about the greater jihad, which is the jihad of nafs, which is the jihad of oneself, his own self, that this individual is basically doing a jihad against his nafs, then obviously he can reach to the higher ranks of spirituality. And that's what we need to strive for, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. We humans commit sin because of negligence. In other words, we forget God's commands and trespass his red lines. In such cases, God has ordered us to repent and return to the right path. Nevertheless, some of us have repented several times and breached our penitence and committed sins again and again. Some of us have plunged in sins to the extent that we despair of God and do not think of penitence at all. Insistence on sin is very bad, but being disappointed of God's mercy is worse and more reprimanded. God says to the prophet in Ayah 53 of Surah Zumar, say, O my servants who have committed excesses against their own souls, do not despair of God's mercy. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful. This ayah is full of grace and mercy of God. Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace upon him, says, be hopeful of God's mercy, the mercy which does not embolden you to disobey Him, and have fear of God, the fear which does not make you desperate of His mercy. God tells the Prophet in Ayah 60 of Surah Ghafir, Your Lord has said, call me and I will hear you. Indeed, those who are disdainful of my worship will enter hell in utter humility. This ayah both makes us hopeful of God's mercy and warns against his wrath and punishment. The result of fearing God is giving up sins, and the result of hope in his mercy is to do righteous deeds. Part of ayah 110 of Surah Kahf reads, whoever expects to encounter his Lord, let him act righteously. Here, it is clear that hoping God must be accompanied with righteous deeds, otherwise it would be lie. In the month of Ramadan, the individual is permitted to eat and drink of God's blessings from the dusk till the dawn. Having food before the dawn has been recommended as it gives energy to the body. But a common mistake is to have the pre-dawn meal hurriedly. This will cause ailments in both the stomach and the intestines. It will have negative effect on digestive system and will cause reflux of the stomach during the day. Although sleeping is very sweet in pre-dawn hours, it has been highly recommended to have this meal, which is called suhoor or sahari. It is good to regulate the volume of food in iftar in a way that the stomach is ready for another meal before the dawn. Fasting makes the heart luminous, and the individual tastes the sweetness of prayer and supplication with the Lord of creation. Worships in Ramadan make the spirit lighter and leads us to recognize God better. It is the month of adorning the soul and spirit with moral virtues via faith and righteous deeds. The ninth infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Jawad, peace upon him, has said in a supplication, O God, O you who administer the affairs and have power over all things, O you who know the betrayal of eyes and what the chest conceal and what the inward hides, O God, place us among those who make intention and follow it with practice, and do not place us among those who are wretched and rely on other than work. O God, heal the diseases of our bodies and help us practice what you have obligated on us so that this month passes while we have fulfilled in it your obligation on us. O God, help us for fasting of this month and keeping vigil at night, and grant us liveliness in this month for performing ritual prayer. And do not deprive us from recitation of the Quran, and facilitate for us the giving of alms. O God, do not dominate chronic diseases, tiredness, ailment, and fatigue over us. O God, give us halal sustenance for iftar. O God, facilitate for us what you have sustained in this month, and pave the way for what you have determined of your affair, and make it halal, pure and clean from sins and evils. O God, do not feed us except pure food, not polluted and haram, and make your sustenance halal for us, devoid of dirt and ailments. Thank you. Imam Jawad, peace upon him, says in another supplication in this month, O God, greet Muhammad and his infallible Ahlul Bayt and accept our fast and join it with good deeds and God-weariness and appreciate our effort and accept our keeping night vigil and the Quran that we have recited and answer out prayers and guide us to good deed and keep us aloof from hardships and prepare us for easy affairs and elevate our degrees and double our virtuous deeds and accept our ritual prayers so that the month of Ramadan passes by us while you have accepted our fast and keeping night vigil and cleansed and purified our deeds and forgiven our sins and fulfilled our share completely in this month of every goodness as you are the answerer and near Lord and you encompass everything.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio. This is the Youth Station. I'm your host, Zainab Askari, and I have with me Zainab Sadat. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Could you tell us more about yourself?
Well, I'm Zainab Sadat, as I said, and I am 20 years old. I have studied English at university. I have my BA in English language and literature and my MA in teaching English as a foreign language. However, I am highly interested in religious topics, and that is one of my interested fields.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm really happy to be here today discussing you about religious issues.
Thank you for being my co-host, and today...
You're welcome.
Do you ever have this, bad energy towards someone like you? Have this intuition that this person is a, you have some negative thoughts towards him and you don't think good about that person. And whenever that person, you get some, negative vibes from someone and then you start thinking bad about that person without the fact that that person did something bad to you, like you are pessimist about someone.
Yes, definitely. That has happened to most of us, I guess.
Yeah.
Because...
So,
yeah.
Do you think we are all the time only pessimists or all the time only optimists? Or do you think we are both of them?
Well, I think such a question highly depends on the situation.
Okay.
You know, there are situations when you must be pessimistic or optimistic as well. And however, in meeting new people, I try my best, at least, to be optimistic at the very first place.
Meeting.
Yes. Okay. And then after communication and after just getting to know that person, then decide how to treat with that person or how to, deal with him or her.
What do you think about that person, basically?
I try to wait for a while before getting pessimistic or optimistic. But of course, you're right. And giving vibes from a person, which positive or negative vibes, is...
One of the reasons what we think about others.
Yes, it's quite natural to have the first impression from the person you're just meeting and talking to.
And so, let me ask you, what are you optimistic about?
About religious issues, about my religious life. I just try to be optimistic in lots of cases. But optimistic, I mean, I try to just lean on God's mercy and blessings.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
When should we be optimistic and when should we be pessimistic? Do we have something in narrations regarding that?
Yes, definitely. Islam has provided us with lots of recommendations about how to live and how to treat
others.
Yes. You know, I want to refer to a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. I'm not going to recite the exact hadith, but the gist of the hadith is that your hope in God must be in a way that it won't draw you to mistakes or harams.
Okay.
And on the other hand, your hope in God must not be in a way that you become disappointed from God's mercy and blessings.
So Imam is kind of trying to tell us be both optimistic and pessimistic as well.
Both, yes, depending on the situation. And after thinking about such an issue, I came up with a conclusion that, you know, sometimes when you do a mistake unintentionally or out of ignorance,
okay,
when you do something and you don't know, when you do something bad and you don't know about the consequences that it might have for you and other people, and then just soon you regret what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
That is the time when you should be optimistic about God's
mercy
and God's blessings and just try to compensate for your mistakes.
Okay.
And on the other hand, we might have occasions when you just, you know, do something bad intentionally, do mistakes or harams intentionally in the hope of God's mercy. No, that's wrong, and God definitely does not accept.
Yeah, we have such kind of people around, you know, we have especially youth who say that.
Yes.
Since Allah is Rahman and Rahim,
yes,
He is kind and He's merciful.
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
And
they do whatever they want.
Yes.
Yes, and that's not the correct way. You know, God has not asked us to do such a thing at all. And doing intentional haram and doing intentional wrong deeds definitely has its consequences. Yes, although God is Rahman or Rahim, as you said, and has mercy upon us.
He is kind and merciful.
Yes, but definitely that does not mean that we should have the courage to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
We should hurt people, we should do bad things. No, it is not the way. We must set some confinements for ourselves.
And so here we have to be pessimistic, I think. Like, for example, we have optimistic thinking about the kindness of Allah, about the mercifulness of Allah.
Yes.
We say we are extremely optimistic here, and we say, like, we can do whatever we want because God is kind and He is merciful.
Yes.
And He is forgiving. Because
yes,
so many places in Quran,
yes,
or in many narrations, we know that He is
God,
the most forgiving one.
His mercy, yes.
Yeah,
He's
the most forgiving one. You should go,
yes,
and regret, and He is the most forgiving one. So
yes,
I must never go with this intention, let me commit a sin, and then let me, like, go for regret, and then Allah will forgive me. I am here very optimistic about His,
yes,
mercy. I should be optimistic, but,
yeah,
not before committing the sin.
Yes,
I should
definitely
be optimistic, like, if I committed a sin unintentionally and now I want to regret, and I should have optimism over here that He will forgive me for sure,
yeah,
with the hope that I never,
yeah,
do any,
yes,
more sins, you know,
yes,
I never go,
right,
any more wrong way. So I started with the people, you know, I told you, like,